Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now in the presence of his people. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So it's good to be here one more time on Blog Talk Radio with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we welcome you once again to Truth Ministry. And we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, and all of our Instagram followers. So it's good to be here once again on Truth Ministry. So we're continuing in the Only Believe End Time Signs series, Part 8. So we took off a little bit, so we're back ready to go. And so I'm going to continue on. I did Part 7 on last time, so we're into Part 8 on this week. So should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. If you have a question or if you have a comment, you are welcome. 929-477-2285. And so also, we would like to invite you, should you be in the South Florida area, you can come and worship at the church, at my home church where I attend, where I'm a member, Vision Worship Center. It's a PAW church, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World affiliated church, located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. That is 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. That's Vision Worship Center. And the pastor is Dr. Kevin Chandelou. He is the bishop and the founder and senior pastor. That is Dr. Kevin Chandelou. So our services are on Sundays at 9 a.m., with the exception of every first Sunday of the month, our worship service begins at 7 a.m. every first Sunday of the month. And then all the other Sundays in the month, our worship service begins at 9 a.m. Then in the first and third Tuesdays is our Bible study. We call them solution studies. Those begin at 7:30 p.m. And then the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month is our intercessory prayer gathering. That begins at 7:30 p.m. So that is, should you be in the South Florida area, you are welcome to attend one of our worship services at Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the pastor, the founder, he is the bishop, and he is the senior pastor of Vision Worship Center. So may the Lord bless you real good. And so we're glad to be here one more time, continuing on, knowing that my ongoing theme is the Godhead. And so there's only one God, and so many don't know. That's the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the incarnate Christ. He is the one that came to give his life a ransom for many. He is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. God who quickened the dead in the fourth chapter of Romans. He quickeneth the dead, which means he makes the dead alive, and he calleth those things that be not as though they were. So whatever God has purpose to do, nobody can stop him. He's like he said in Isaiah 46 and 9, 10 and 11, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, as he continues on there in the book of Isaiah, and so no one can stop him. And so he goes on to say, I'm God and there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. So this is the pleasure, the good pleasure of his will, to call the church, you know, believers, set us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So he says, call in a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And so God is going to do just what he said he would do. So one thing about God, he does not miss. Whatever he said, he's going to bring it to pass. So there's a lot of voices. What St. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and then John warned us about it in his epistles, in the latter, you know, in the last days, the Antichrist shall come. These false Christs and these false teachers, they are in the world today, there are many voices. And so we are living in that time. They taught us better than 40 years ago. And here we are living in this time. So a lot of people don't really see it. But I remember being taught. And so now it is here. These so-called hyper-faith movements, these different people, they are hiding behind religion. They're mixing the little truth. They're mixing a lie with a little truth is what it is. And so you don't have truth, because you got to, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if it's not rightly divided, it's a lie. So that's, and people are going to use words. They're going to make merchandise of you, is what Peter warned the church in the last days. And St. Paul warned about perilous times shall come. And so this is what we're going to deal with. And we can see these times are here, violence in the land. People are traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. People are power-stricken. And the Bible is right, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant unto the lender. And so, you know, like they said, it take $1 billion to run for president of the United States to get a job that pays $400,000. That don't even make sense. But the love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10, St. Paul said to his son Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And then he goes on the bad part, which while some have covered it after, talking about believers, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so that's the time we're living in. So they suppose that gain is godliness. He said, from such turn away. So that's what the prosperity gospel is hanging on, you know, saying that you're not supposed to be sick and you're not supposed to be poor, which is a lie. Everybody's not going to be rich. And then Jesus made that plain in the very beginning in his earthly ministry when he said, no man can serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other, you hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon is money. And so that's what we're seeing today. The love of money is the root of all evil. So why they won't stop drugs? Because it's too much money. Why they don't want people to get well? Because it's too much money. These pharmaceuticals are making money hand over fist. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. And they're killing people with the stuff that they got all mixed up. So what a world, and God knows all about it. And their day is coming. So I just heard where there was a woman who owed a electric bill. I don't remember exactly what state it was where she lived. She owed about $1,400 electric bill. She couldn't. It's an older lady. She was on oxygen, and so they cut her electricity off. And I'm told she died. So you know what? They're still not going to get paid. So shows you what people, how much value that the world, the system has on a human life. It all depends on who you are. They don't have much value on your life. In some cases, they think more of an animal than they do certain human beings. So we're in a mess, and it's just like according to what the scripture says. So we want you to know. Just like I said, the Godhead is the God who is the head of us. So there's only one God. So this is the message that St. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. And then there's one body and one spirit. And we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that's true. And so thank God for the New Testament church. So we're going on. So we've been teaching the signs, end time signs. And then so it's just so much more to be said as I reflected. If I wasn't on for two or three weeks and reflected, that there's still a lot more to say. And so I'm coming on with part 8 on today. So time is short. And so the writer Paul writes to his son Timothy that in the latter times some shall now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This is 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So he's talking about people leaving the faith. So people are into all kinds of stuff. I've never seen such stuff. You can go on YouTube these so-called prophets are activating people, and it's ridiculous. I mean, they're doing everything but telling people how to be saved, which Paul told Timothy, preach the word. And so people need, in many cases, they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Today is the day of salvation. When I came in 76, and that was one thing that we believe in our organization, according to the scriptures, the Lord can, his appearing can take place at any time. There are no more signs to be fulfilled. The Lord, like the song says, we expect you anytime. He can appear anytime. So that is why we take the position, like somebody wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I can always ask you before I go off, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because it's so important. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You must be born again. We don't wait. Some people haven't baptized in their pools. They don't even have water in their pools. And they haven't baptized, and I don't know, God knows when. In some many churches, too many. If it's one or two, that's too many, where you know the truth. Somebody need to go down in the name of Jesus, not wait. But that's putting, that's almost like saying the Lord delays his coming, because we don't know the day nor the hour when he shall appear. So that's why the writer said in the 95th Psalm, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. His voice is his word. It's the same thing. So he refers, the Hebrew writer refers back, about how it was in the wilderness, they were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And what is one of the things, the worst sin in the world is unbelief. So we believe he's coming. We're going to do what he says. So it's just babes should be born all the time. Now, I have baptized many in the name of Jesus Christ. Many. I don't know how many. And so that's what we should still, as much as we see the day approaching, knowing that time is short, that is what we should be doing. And so last time we were talking about in the book of Hebrews about don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but as much as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another, so much as more as you see the day approaching, because in other words, time is short. So we should be, so what's going to happen? If people didn't receive the Holy Ghost, if people didn't get baptized in the name of Jesus, and because we put it off, self-explanatory, it's not a good outcome. So babes should be born all the time. We put emphasis on many other things, and we should, that's the main thing. So we used to say, like back many years ago, we brainstorm, we search the scriptures, and I'm still doing the same thing because God hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So, what is the most important? Saving the ones that you have or bringing more in? They're equally important. People need, in the book of Acts, they were added unto the church. The scripture says daily, such as should be saved. If somebody should be saved, we shouldn't take that light. People have the pastor where I was, minister, he's actually a pastor now, one of the elders. He's been a pastor for a number of years because our father in the gospel is going on to be with the Lord. He got up in 1977 in a December cold morning in Michigan and baptized this brother in the name of Jesus at 3 o'clock in the morning. The guy was a drug addict. God broke that habit, and he'd been running for Jesus since then. He's been serving the Lord. So he's yet serving the Lord. So we never know. You don't know who it is, but today is the day of salvation. So as we're continuing on, Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, he was saying that time is short. This is long time ago when this was written, because he was talking about people being married, you know, because he was talking about a virgin and fornication and husband and wife and things of this nature, what he was talking about. So he was saying, I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So what is he saying? If they were by themselves as him, is what he was saying was. So you have to get an explanation when you keep on going in the scriptures. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So don't be burning in your own lust, is what he's saying. Unto the married, I command yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. So he's talking about people already married. And even people like I, like myself and my late wife, we were married for 4 years before we got saved. So this is what he's talking about. So she got saved 10 days before I did. So he's going on here, but to the rest I speak, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not. So he's talking about people. The man got saved and his wife wasn't saved yet. They were already married before he got saved. She be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Then he goes on, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So in other words, they're legitimate, is what he's saying. So he goes on, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us unto peace. So I know of an individual, he got saved, his wife, the notion, the thought of it, and the whole fact that he was saved, she hated it. So she left him. So they ended up divorced. So you can't make her stay. So, I mean, if he would have stayed out in the world, I mean, some people just turn bitter and cold and hatred because this man is serving the Lord. You know, he got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. She didn't want him no more. So that's how that goes in too many, in some cases. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under such cases, but God has called us unto peace. So he goes on to say, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? So in other words, your saved life. Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one. So let him walk, and so are ordained in all churches. So this is what he is talking about. But we want to go on here. So he says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but thou mayest be made free. Use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called thereby abide with God. So he goes on here. I just want to make a point to get to the point that I have here in my description about time being short. So he says, now concerning virgins, I have now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the last apostle. I know there are a lot. I don't care. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I see the time. They just started these people calling themselves apostles in the 90s. And even women. Now, the Lord chose 12 whom he named apostles. That was the prayer that he was praying, which is the Lord's prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John. The model prayer, he didn't tell us to repeat that. He said, when you pray after this manner, pray ye. He didn't say, that's the case. If we would, every time somebody asked us to pray for them, we'd be saying, our Father which is in heaven, pray for me, our Father which is. No, that is not what he said. He said, pray after this manner. And so he's going on here. I suppose, therefore, it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man to so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. So, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So in other words, you got two people. You got two personalities. You got to be together. So if you, and then some people have, in Christ, have beautiful marriages. They're not hindering one another. They're supporting one another. They're there for one another. They realize, just like he said, two saith he shall be one flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. And so he goes on here, but I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. They that wept as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. They that use this world and not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So what he's saying here is time is short. And there was a statement that Peter made on the day of Pentecost after he got done preaching, told the people what to do to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say, the promises unto you Jews, to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And Luke goes on as he writes, then he exhorted and testified with many other words, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is what St. Paul is saying right here. You got to save yourself. The husband ain't going to heaven for his wife, and the wife ain't going to heaven for her husband. You got to save yourself. It's a beautiful thing. You are together, and you have balance in your life. You know what to do and when. You have your balanced, not just all spiritual, not just all natural, but you have things in common. You are support. You are a support one to another. Just like my wife was living. She didn't try to hinder me in the ministry. She did not try to hinder me. I did prison ministry and things that I'd done in the ministry. She did not try to hinder me. So that's the way that you got to do. You got to be a support. Do what you're going to do, and you're back. Because if you got to go out of town or whatever, you don't just let them know. You communicate. That's the same way we do even in our local churches. We communicate. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be out of town. Whatever you do, you are under authority, in authority. Peter said, be subject to one to another. Yea, all of you. Be clothed with humility. He said, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we are accountable. And so it's not you out there just doing your own thing. Nobody knows. No. So we know who we are, what we are about, and God is a God of order. And so what we want to, this is what we want to continue on today about the end time signs. So, yeah, people are proud, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. We covered a lot of things in the seven sessions before today. We talked about signs in the 24th chapter of Matthew, which really is not just that time before General Titus went in and destroyed Jerusalem. People talking about going to Israel, walking where Jesus walked and being baptized in the River Jordan and all that. That place got destroyed. It's not the same place. The tomb, I don't even know if they can find where the tomb was. And so one thing that is left of the temple is the back wall, the wall that didn't completely get tore down. They call it the Wailing Wall. They go there wailing, and so not realizing that now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, that is there is liberty. And so this is what St. Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and the 4th chapter, when he was talking about when Moses is read, he was talking about the veil is done away in Christ. So when he said, it shall turn to the Lord, then the veil shall be taken away. The it that he's talking about there is their heart, when they turn their heart to God. So Israel as a nation, they didn't accept him. That's why we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So we were made able ministers of the New Testament. So he was talking about, if that which was is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. And see, and then even like the Ark of the Covenant, which is a beautiful thing, the way the temple and everything, the table of showbread and the candlesticks and the Aaron's rod that buddeth and everything was beautiful, way that all was set up. But God took it out of the box, which is the Ark of the Covenant. He took it out of the box and he put it in our hearts, just like he said that he don't dwell in temples made with hands, but our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we don't, it's good. We can look at that because they preach Jesus out of the law of Moses. They preach Jesus out of the prophets, the apostles, that is, and they preached him out of the Psalms because they did not have the Gospels. They wrote the Gospel. So that's why he was saying, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. Whose mind? Israel, the nation of Israel, not the whole nation, but the remnant. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Notice what I said, because I said the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What it? Their heart. I just read it. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's why he goes on to say, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he goes on here, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The earnest of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's so important. So that's why I say now we have all of this crazy stuff going on with these doctrines, plural, of devils, this so-called prosperity gospel, and this is worse than what I ever thought, because you're always finding information, because people are digging and searching stuff out and explaining it, and because I noticed people never, they used to call apostolics Jesus only, and some apostolics were not too proud to say they were apostolic. Now all of a sudden, people are talking about they're apostolic. I mean, this blows my mind, and I've been in here since 76. I know what I'm talking about. I'm apostolic. I got the mantle. And I mean, and these so-called prophets, which is a lie out of the back door of hell, these so-called prophets, because the message or the the time of the prophets is over. So that's why in the book of Hebrews explains all of that. And so, I mean, I'm not going to get fooled, not by the grace of God. I mean, so it's a fight. And, I mean, people don't like it, but the subject of Hebrews is the first word, God. Your comma is a break in what the sentence or the paragraph is talking about. So you don't find too many words in the English language that the first word, after the first word, you have a comma. So this subject in the book of Hebrews is talking about God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. It's talking about the office, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And the worlds, plural. Then he goes on, semicolon, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So this is God incarnate, God in a human body. And you, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So he goes on here, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. It's a question. And again, when he come, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he says, saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever, and the sceptre of thy righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, from the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth and the heaven. Heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. To which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? A question. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So he's talking about the Son, the sonship, the office. And so a lot of people don't understand it, because that's because they don't understand his eternal power and Godhead, as Paul wrote to the Roman church. And then he talks about the Godhead in the book of Acts. We shouldn't think that Godhead is like under gold and silver and all that. Then in Colossians, the church at Colossae, he says about in him dwelleth all, talking about Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, ye are complete in him. So it's in the scriptures three times, the term, the Godhead. And I mean, I'm going to tell you something. The devil from the pit of hell hates that term, the Godhead, because he know there's only one God. James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. James says, the devils but also believe and tremble. Believe, they know there's only one God. But they'll lie and say there's three or two to people, because there's no such thing as a demon. That's in the margins in the Bible. But you read, the term is devils with a little D. So the unclean spirit may be an unclean devil. I mean, there's no such thing as a clean devil. A devil is a devil. But there's one devil who is the prince of the devils, but the little devils are fallen angels. And so we have to recognize what's going on. And then, so this is what he's talking about when he's talking about the Spirit speaking expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, not demons, devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So to say that, I mean, you make a term, you make a statement like that, it's like people's hearts fall to the floor. Like you can't get it, you don't understand it. That devil is not playing. So your conscience is seared with a hot iron. You're hit. Like I said before, I'm going to be redundant. They told us to pay very close attention to repetition. So, yeah, I'm going to be repetitious, redundant, whatever term you want to use. So if your conscience is seared with a hot iron, you're hit. it ain't going to be restored back. And so that's what he talked about in the book of Romans, about a reprobate concerning the faith. Even in another one of he wrote here in Timothy about being reprobate concerning the faith. So if you reprobate, you turn you over, you do those things which are not convenient, then you're done. So that's the whole point of this LGBT whatever movement. It's a movement. People can be saved because you are what you are. Men. I saw two. They were two men. They got on a track team, but they took hormone pills and whatever all they'd done. But they are appearing to be females, but in reality, they were born males. So that's why you got to talk to people, even in relationships. Nobody want to end up with somebody that got made that ain't what they were born. Just like the Bruce Jenner. I mean, he makes no bone about it, because I remember when they were first talking about that, I'm thinking, like, what are they talking about? His interview, so finally somebody said it. And so he said he is living a lie. Well, that's almost to call God a liar. Man, he even got children. He was married before. I mean, and the thing about it is the enemy really got his mind. Because I'm not going to call him. He was born Bruce Jenner. I mean, he was an athlete in the Olympics. I mean, a great athlete. So I was talking to somebody, and I said, well, you know, I wouldn't want to be the man that went after him. I mean, you'd have to be drunk for 3 weeks to want him. And then this person told me, like, he don't like men. He like women. I said, well, I rest my case. Because if he liked women, then he was a man. Why didn't he stay a man? So you see how the devil is messing people's minds up. So the seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lie and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So some people even, you can marry, some people say about people can't remarry. So with this foolishness, the way they say that little so-called term, I love you to life. So with that stupid term, then, no, when you marry somebody, it's till death do you part. You can't love a lot of people. They love their life. They're gone. So, I mean, that is an ignorant saying. I love you to life. No, you love people till death. They're gone. You can't love them no more. You remember you. I love their memory. I remember those that taught me. They're gone. So you love them while they're here. So you love somebody. You can do something about it while they're here. You know, show your gratitude, show your love to them. And so this is the time that we are living in. So we got to watch. And so these people are so clever. So you only got one soul. And so, like I say, I remember I had been in church for 2 years in 1978 when the people went to the Jim Jones crowd, went to Ghana, wherever that was that they went. Some people say one of his sons said that he loved his father. When his father started saying he was God, he knew his father went off. So we know they drank the poison Kool-Aid, whatever they put in it. All these people hugged up, dead, swole up. I never seen nothing like that in my life. And so that's where you have to watch. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about on this evening, is we got to watch. So we got to watch what people say. We got to watch ourselves. We got to take heed that we don't be deceived. Because, like I said it, and I'll say it, and some people don't like it, but what Jesus said trumps everybody. So, and he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So we talked about that in the very beginning of this Only Believe End Time series about watch. So we got to watch. You know, we got to take heed that no man deceive us. So I don't care what you say. Some people, they're so loyal to a personality, they would do anything. No, I'm going to do what's right according to the word of God. You go off, I'm not going off with you. So, I mean, you got to have that attitude. So, in other words, we keep each other in check. So that's the whole point about, the last lesson about forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as much as ye see the day approaching. Then he goes on after that saying, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, which means that the Lord Jesus Christ is not going back to Calvary. He already made that sacrifice once in the end of the world. He hath appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. He was the sacrifice lamb. He was the God that received the blood, the atonement. When in the high priestly office, he was the only one that could do it. He made himself a body. In Psalms, the 40th chapter, and Hebrews, the 10th chapter, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. So what we want to talk about in the little time that we have left, because we're talking about end time signs. And so watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. So he goes on here, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest suddenly coming he find you sleeping. And he goes on, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So this is in St. Matthew 13, 35, 36, and 37. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, that's coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So we know whatsoever things are written written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Romans 15 and 4. Yeah, whatsoever things are written for our learning. So this is these things are written for our learning, written for our admonition. So it's imperative. It's very important. It's, as we would say, it is paramount. And so we have to save ourselves. We got to watch. So we got all these things going on. Like I said, the so-called seed, you know, people, like they act like God is a casino. You know, what's your bid? Excuse me. And so that is not the way that it goes. And then it's, you know, they started this thing. They didn't used to do this until you would see it on television and people started bringing up, they feel emotional or whatever as the word going forth, and they bring an offering and throw it on the floor at the altar. That is a whore spirit. People did that in the bars. There's a way to give, like you read, like the widow's mite. Jesus saw what they were giving and how they done it. They had receptacles that they received. You don't take up the offering. You don't take the offering. You receive the offering. I mean, because I'm careful at the way, or you don't collect it. You really, they give. If somebody gives a gift, because we call the money a gift, the tithe and the free will offering, or your gift. So you give, and it is received. So that is a better way of putting it. Not we taking it, you know. No, They're freely giving it. You're freely receiving it. So that's so important. So you still have time to call in should you have a question or a comment here on the live broadcast on today, July 10th, 2018. We have 10 minutes left, about 10 minutes left on Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we're glad to be here to declare the word of the Lord. And so knowing that time is short and you have all of these different things that are going on, these doctrines of devils, and I didn't, like I said, this so-called prosperity gospel, they don't care. All they're thinking about is themselves, these selfish preachers. And I mean, one man was lying and said that God asked him his opinion on something. I mean, that is utterly ridiculous. God doesn't need no one's opinion. He ain't going to ask you your opinion. That's going against his word. He's not counseled by no one. I mean, look at what the word of God says. And we don't even understand if we would really listen. And then so that's why you got to understand what the word says. And like I said, one of the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible, when people say gifts and callings come without repentance, that first of all, you said it wrong, because the gospel message of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ himself was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So you're going to go, so you don't need to repent, you're going to get a gift anyway? That is utterly, totally ridiculous is what that is. That makes no sense, because he's talking about in the ninth chapter, he starts off talking about God having mercy on whom he will. The tenth chapter, his heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. In the 11th chapter of Romans, he's talking about God cast away his people, which he foreknew, and he goes on to answer it. God forbid. I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. That is St. Paul talking, who was the last apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles. And he goes on, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets. Dig down thine altars. I am left alone. They seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? I reserve to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, even at this present time. Also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh after. He seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So in other words, because they didn't receive him, just like I read, their hearts, their minds were blinded. So he says, according to that is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber eyes, that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see. Bow down their back alway. I say then, he says, if they stumbled, that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles. Rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy, not the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness is a question he's proposing. I speak to you Gentiles, for as much as, here it is, St. Paul saying, Apostle Paul, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. So there's no more apostles after him. So, oh yeah, I'm not scared. I'm saying it. I'm definitely saying it on this platform. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to say it. If it, by any means I may provoke to immolation them that which are my flesh and might save some of them. So he's talking about his countrymen, you know, because he was of the tribe of Benjamin. If the casting away of them be the reconciled unto the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And our time is getting away. So he goes on here. I want to get to my point about God not being counseled, like this false prophet has said. But God asked him, what did he think? God don't care what you think. We better believe what he said. Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? St. Paul wrote, shall their unbelief make the faith of God, of faithfulness of God, with of non-effect? He answers the question, God forbid. So anyway, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise. You should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So you got to remember now in the prophets, he prophesied, especially the prophet Isaiah, that the Lord was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So the foreknowledge of God, knowing exactly what was going to happen, he came unto his own and his own received him not. I mean, so they're going to be beheaded. They overcame him in the book of the Revelation. Say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Who? The tribulation saints. That is not us. We say that. So that's our problem. And I'm not afraid to say I know for a fact, because I observe, I ponder, I pray, I meditate, I search. Our problem is church people. We say what somebody else said, and we don't search the scriptures. Be like the Bereans, who were more noble than they of Thessalonica, that they search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So all Israel shall be saved. What? All the tribes. That is written, there shall come out of Zion, the deliverer shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Here it is. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So in other words, he called Israel. He gave them the oracles of God, and he's not going to change his mind. So he goes on here. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So God, nobody's going to counsel God. So these people are coming up with all kinds of stuff, and they're taking money from people. And so, I mean, I really had to really look at this thing. It was worse than I even imagined. These charlatans, these ecclesiastical pimps, men and women, these false prophets, they're so clever. They're putting no emphasis on souls, but this so-called prosperity gospel, that you should be healthy and you should be wealthy, which is a lie from hell. You could buy whatever you want. You got the money. Jesus said, the poor you're going to have with you always. So we thank God for his word. And so today we know our time is about gone, but thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And like I always ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So watch. So this is what the emphasis should be on, the thing that is paramount, the thing that is most important. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. That needs to be emphasized. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? In these last days, that is precious. You need the Holy Ghost and the baptism in the name of Jesus to make the rapture or be caught away in these last and evil days.